بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The last major war on Indian soil was 1857. They call it weather, they call it mutiny in English. And from that moment onwards, it would seem like Ulama-e Kiram had changed strategy. So the reason why they changed strategy is known best to them. But you cannot say that they had given up hope. No. It's not that they lost hope or they threw in the towels, but there must have been some serious reason why they changed the whole approach. But as you look into the history of India, the population standing now at about 1.7 billion, and then you can understand what will be the population of the Muslims. They scattered throughout the Indian subcontinent, put them together, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Ceylon, all together. They can't be anything less than 700 million altogether. But now they changed the whole strategy. So, what could have been the possible reason? Hazrat Manazir Ahsan Gilani is also one of the thinkers of the Ummat. They think carefully, understand, try and place things in perspective. Apart from the dedication to restore the true, pure Islamic spirit, they are thinkers also. So he says, this thing was intriguing my mind for a long time until I had the occasion of speaking to my ustad, Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayhi, directly. He's a man that was at the forefront trying to get the English out of India. So now, we can't just jump to conclusions why they did this and why didn't they do this. If he didn't understand what was the preamble, what was the halat there, then it's not right just to jump to conclusions. One student came and asked me 2 days ago that we fold the hands in namaz, the right over the left, and then we make a ring with the little finger and the thumb. That's Muslim according to us. So he tells me that there is no hadith to support this. So now students, as they're growing up, so you have to listen to them, and you can't become emotional. Listen to the story and then give them some proper answer. So he says that, see, there's no hadith, so this is a fabrication. Then why do you all insist that the hands should be folded? I said, see, to make a fleeting statement, then you need to have all the hadith before you. The treasure of the hadith, all, everything. And then you need to see the rating of the hadith, the level of the authenticity. Then you also need to see which hadith came first and which hadith came later. Because the hadith that came later comes to cancel the one that came earlier. So all this information. Then you need to look at the chain of reporters, how authentic they are. Right? To prove the authenticity, you need to also know two things basically, the date of their birth and the date of their death. because if he says he was so and so student, right? And say he says that I was born in the 200th year of the Hijri, right? And he says that I got the hadith from this person here, and that person died 199. So is there any possible of the possibility of the meeting? So he needs to show exactly his date of birth and his date of death, so that there can't be any type of discrepancy. Then also we can see, alright, who were his teachers and who were the contemporaries, second thing. The third thing we need to go and verify is the state of his memory. Was it consistent throughout? In the latter years, was he suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's, loss of memory, or his memory was consistent throughout? Then the third thing we need to see, what's the level of his reliability and his commitment to deen? Was he a free-minded person, or was he a person that was committed to deen throughout his life? And we've got all these facts here now. Now, then we can comment on the hadith. But now, you just got one piece of information from one person, and then you say that this hadith is not found. There's no basis for the hadith. I say, is it fair to the science of hadith? Why are you being dishonest? So Ibari said, no, I'm being dishonest. So the fair thing requires study. If you want to make a study, but let yourself be fair. Study all these things. The term that they use is istiqra' al-tam. You must see every hadith available on the topic. Whether that hadith kitab is here or in some library, wherever, you can get all the hadith. And thereafter, you follow the procedure and you said that this has got no basis in deen, then you've got a base to stand upon. But otherwise, you don't have a base to stand upon. You say there's no basis for that, but you have a base to stand upon. Okay. So then we check the hadith afterwards. There's a word like wada. There's a word like qabz in the hadith. Qabz is like this, to hold on firmly. Right? So now these words do appear in the hadith. And now, if you make a fleeting statement that there is no basis for this, really, you're not being fair to the science of hadith, you're not being fair to the hadith itself, and you're not being fair to the reporters and transmitters of hadith. You're fair to all of them. So, in the stance that our elders have taken, we need to study the whole thing. Now, in this stage, one of the major problems is someone must start off something, and the second person sees he's doing this, and let me just follow suit. So, the standard of the Quran Sharif is golden. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. You can emulate a person when he's doing the right. يَهْتَدُونَ, he's doing the right. Number two is, he's got a level of good understanding. His understanding also of deen is good, sound. So he's got the information. Number two, he's got the right information, and he's got the ability to reason as well. And if he doesn't have the information, all the information, nor does he have the ability to reason properly, then I ask you, his deductions, will they be right? Then that person must follow. He must say, مَتَّبَعْنَا مِلَّةَ آبَائِنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And I'll follow these people here. Because you don't have all that information. You must have the reasoning ability and have the information as well. You can't just say, I heard this and I saw this. And you say, I heard this and I saw this, then the basis is wrong. So this is a major, major discrepancy. And the ulama will have to stand on different forts, see, different fronts. See, the idea is two. One is the preservation of deen. Number two is the propagation of deen. Both have to be done. And the first will be more important than the second one. Because if the preservation is not right, will the propagation be right? For the propagation to be right, you need to see that it's preserved well, preserved correctly. Right? That is it's a work on itself, great work, to preserve everything. Everything must be. So the madrasas generally, it's what they endeavor to do, to preserve everything in its perspective, where this comes in, where does this come in, how reliable is this report. Then too, they can't say with confidence that we've done everything, that we've tried our best to come to this point, but we cannot say it's such a great task. Otherwise sometimes the reason goes off, or there's misinformation, right? Sometimes the reasoning goes off, and sometimes there is misinformation, right? Now, of recent, right, there's a person, Imran, right? Now, he makes a claim. This claim goes like this, that Christ, Isa alayhi salam, you can't say that he died. See, he made about three claims. Can't say he died. But he says the definition of death is for the soul to depart and never to return. Right? That's the one claim that he makes. Now that's in his writings, in his works. It's about 30 musafis that appear. But that's one of the statements. The meaning of death is to the soul to depart and the soul never to return. Now that in itself is a flawed definition. He says that I'm an escopat or something, I'm an expert in matters pertaining to the science of Qiyamah, life after death, etc. But now, this basic definition is what is wrong. Now, why do you say that this basic definition is wrong? Because if that is the meaning of death, right, then you only wind up a person's state after he's certified dead, right? As for the people that are martyred, right, then Allah Pak himself says, Bal ahyaun, they're alive. When they're alive, then is it right to wind up his estate? Now someone is shot dead, you say he's a shaheed, right? Can you wind up his estate? Why? Because he's alive. Can his wife remarry? Now see the flaw in his defining interpretation. Number one. Number two is this, that as Muslims, we all believe in a life after death. That the man is still alive. That is why, when you're going to a Qabristan, Assalamu alaikum, diyara qawmi mu'mini, you're addressing the Qabristan. And the hadith says, Illa raddallahu ruhahu hatta yaruddu alayhi salam. Ma min ahadin yamurru ala qabrin kana ya'rifu. Right? He recognized the person. He makes salam, and that person's soul returns to the body and returns the salam. So then, is there any Muslim who is dead then? See the hadith. يَمُرُّ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ أَخِي وَيَسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا رَدَّ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُ وَيَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. So then, is there any Muslim dead? No dead. So if he's not dead, then can he wind up his estate? Can his wife remarry? So now, all the reasoning is all flawed. Right? But now, nobody's got the time to go and research the whole thing now. But what's the sickness in these days? We're looking at how eloquent the presentation is, and we are getting caught up in the presentation. Presentation is too smart, so we're getting caught up. Right? Then if you talk about, he's talking about the death of Isa alayhi salam, and he's talking about the crucifixion, right? So he says that there is a thing like they killed him, right? And they crucified him. So, If you look at the Quranic reports, the Quran is saying, مَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. Straight. Neither did they kill him, nor did they crucify him. So his second level of support could have been the Gospel or the Torah. Now, the report can only be authentic if it's coming to you with an unbroken chain of reporters, and when it's a serious matter pertaining to beliefs, right? That it mustn't be only an unbroken chain of reporters. There must be such a huge crowd of people reporting it in every era that you cannot believe that they could collude upon a lie. Now, when you look at the death or the killing and the crucifixion, there is no report. Because the gospel says that all the disciples, when they saw that something is happening, they all disappeared. It's a bug here. Right? Someone sold him for a couple of dirhams. One of the disciples sold him off and pointed, this is the person. He bolted, right? So he all ran away. So there is no proper evidence that they ever killed him. There's no evidence. Right? If there's an evidence, the evidence that this, I heard that he died, he was killed. What? We heard that he was killed. I ask you, in any court of law, you say, no, I heard that there was an accident and this person died. I heard about it. Is that acceptable? No. They want to see by how authentic the report is. Now, you're basing such a huge edifice on no foundation whatsoever. A small shirk, and then now the most unique thing about the whole thing is that he's calling him an expert in the science of escopath. He's an escopath. He's an expert. But if he's an escopath, the base is absolutely flawed. So how did he qualify? Then he says, the third argument that he presents, right? He says that the problem of this ummah is that their reasoning was in a box. In other words, they had parameters in the reasoning. They were not thinking out of the box. So that box that was sealed was passed from generation to generation, but it was boxed up. It was not, that box wasn't broken. So they didn't learn to think out of the box. They didn't learn to think and reason outside the box. So they remain within the box. Box means parameters, right? So I say by thinking within the box was the greatest blessing. You may ask now, what makes you say that it was the greatest blessing? So I remember, I think it was the late 80s or the beginning 90s, I was in Johannesburg. There was some, I didn't know the people, quite a few professional people there. So this whole topic of qiyas, we say analogy, reasoning, analysis, analyzing, trying to extend the analogy from one situation to the next. So they're talking, I'm silent, I'm listening to their stories now, how they think and how they reason. So they say, Ma, what have you to say? So I say, see, I've started now to build it up for them to understand analogy and reasoning. You can't think out of the box. I said, see, a few months ago, someone sent me an article from the Sunday Times of a group of Orthodox Christians. Right? They say, we're very Orthodox, go by the book, we don't go off the book. But they all agree that we do wife swapping. So they were Christian, but you know, you see that you're Orthodox practicing Christians and you go by the gospel. So how do you arrive at this type of a situation that you're practicing wife swapping? So now look at the reasoning, you know, that analogy, the reasoning. And that's why I say to remain within the box is the best blessing. So their reasoning was this. Christ had taught us to share our bread. Can you see that? Now I ask you, is that thinking in the box, is it a blessing or is it a curse? Now he considers that as a curse, that they stuck to the box and they passed the box from one generation to the other generation. And I say, sticking to that was about the greatest blessing. We remained what we got from the Sahaba Kiram with all the trust and all the confidence in them. They passed it on to the Tabi'in and so forth and so on. So I ask you, can there be a greater blessing than remaining boxed up? And when the communities, when they moved off the box, right, then they found the chance, the opportunity to make additions and commissions, right? From what Christianity was, unitarian, right? Believing one God. Then they went on to three gods. Then they went to the Son of God, or Christ Himself is a God. How many distortions, how many phases it has gone through, right? Until in the 4th century, 391, they had a big seminar in somewhere near Istanbul, Sinia or something, I can't remember the exact pronunciation. So they had a major conference in that, right? That was now about 300 years before Rasulullah would be born, right? 300 years after Christ. So between Isa alayhi salam, Rasulullah was about 600 years. So they had a major conference. In that major conference, they approved the adjustments that they would do to the religion. They approved of the adjustments that they could do to the religion. So I ask you now, when they approved and they endorsed it in such a big conference, popes and pastors are called from all parts of that time, right? And all of them endorsed. So is there anything that you can say that is absolutely clean, pure, unadulterated? Can you say that? Now, this is not recorded. I got the evidence that they had that conference and they agreed that they would make additions and commissions as and when they need to do it. So there is nothing in record. Now, he is borrowing from Christianity, right? Then he goes on to say that he was called to the to Russia, Balkan states, all that. Same person is saying, same thing, right? He was called. And he says, you know, one of the worst deviate jamaats is the Tabligh Jamaat, because they closed the doors on him. That's what he says, right? So, but as you read the article now, he says, but the best welcome I got was from the Russians, right? Best welcome. And now, then you get interested, all right, what made the Russians, the Balkans, Kufar, Christians, to be the best host and the ones that were best to accept him, right? So he says, no, you can remain on your Christianity. You can remain on your Christianity. You just have to acknowledge Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Rasul. But that's enough. But otherwise you can remain on your Christianity. Now, what does the Quran Sharif speak about Christianity and other religions, right? Understand that. He hasn't gone through that. It doesn't seem like he's gone through that. He just got some small verse or some small hadith, and then he took it to town, right? So, the Quran Sharif says about them, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ مِنْ مَرْيَمُ. All these Christians are kafirs. When they make shirk, they're all kafirs. Right? لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ مِنْ مَرْيَمُ. Whether you say, talk about the Trinity, you talk about Christ being the God, but still you are right off, complete. That's now the 60 para, Surah Ma'idah, clean. Clean, there's no ambiguity around the verse. Nothing, absolutely, right? Then again, the Quran Sharif says, مَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. See this free thinking that has become the order of the day. Why must we think in the box? Why can't we just get out of the box and think freely? So a man will think like that, a woman will think like that, and they'll feel, no, we can't be just following, you know, aping something. We can't be just blindly following something. That's how they are made to understand and reason, right? So now, what does Islam say? مَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Anything besides Islam then is rejected. And in the akhirat, that person, وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, He is a total failure. Khasira means fail. He is a total failure. Inna deena inda Allahi Islam. The only deen that has been approved and sanctioned is Islam. Right? See that how clear the Quran Sharif is saying, right? And then again the Quran Sharif is saying that he got his degrees and he's got his endorsement by who? From the Christians in the Balkan states. So the shaitan endorsed him. Who are they? They're all shaitans, right? We all know what they did in Afghanistan, you know, right? No, it's not blind. Nobody is blind to this fact. They know it, right? So what they did there, everybody knows, right? So his masters are America or Russia. So he talks very highly about them. Because they could endorse him. They recognized him. And I got the best welcome. So, if someone got the welcome from Shaitan, so what's the big deal? You know, Musab Rahmatullahi was confronted by a Shia, right? So he says, you know, that Shia is bragging about himself. You don't see a Shia becoming a Sunni, right? You will hardly hear a Shia becoming a Sunni. But you will see Sunnis becoming Shias. Others said that is an endorsement. Because Shaitan won't do business where he sees there's no business. The Shia now, he's already lost case. He's already buying from him billions. So does he need to do business? He just has to maintain the clientele, that's all. But does he know? He needs to do business from the Muslims. Oh, these people they are smashing him down, they're breaking his business, they're smashing him to the ground, to smithereens. He needs to do business with them. So, he's doing the business in the right line. Right? He's not doing it in the right, not doing it in the wrong line, right? But now, let's turn the whole argument, right? See, this reasoning, we have to apply our minds. You can't say, now, like I say, there's two sides to Islam. One is the preservation, one is the propagation. And both are important. The preservation in many cases will be more important than the propagation. For this person also, he's propagating, right? But is he propagating the right thing or the wrong thing? He's saying, no, you can remain a Christian, just acknowledge Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you go straight to heaven. You go straight to heaven, right? Now there are some young ulama that came from Nigeria, right? So I asked him, what's the position in Nigeria? What's the population? So he says, the population is 200 million, the whole Nigeria. I said, what's the percentage of Muslims? So it's 65%. It's about 130 million Muslims. So then I asked him, alright, what percentage are practicing Muslims? He said, maybe about 25-30% are practicing. So then, the rest of the 70%, said, from the rest of the 70%, 30%, that was his words, 30% are Chris-Islam. See this, Imran, he's promoting the same name. So I said, what do you mean by Chris-Islam? No, Chris-Islam means that on a Friday you come into the masjid and on a Sunday you're attending the service. Can you see? This is the brand of Islam that this Mr. Imran is propagating. Chris-Islam. Right. So you can't cross that. Can't cross that. You're out of it. مَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ Allah Pak has only endorsed Islam, nothing else. Everything else, he has rejected. You can't have an attitude, oh, let's be friends and we'll work together and you know, look for a better future. Right? So this is, alright. Say for example, that this version of Islam that he's talking about, that you can remain a Christian, acknowledge Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you're going straight to heaven, right? But let's say we accept that argument of his for one moment, right? So, for him to be honest in his claim, then let him tell him, alright, why don't you announce that you're a Christian? Then will we have any problem? Because you say that you can still remain a Christian and go straight to heaven. So then, just announce that you are a Christian, Right. Will there be any fight then? They will say, no, Muslims say, no, he's gone, finished. We don't have to worry about him. He's a Christian, he's got nothing to do with Islam. But now, someone wants to push Islam into the equation and dilute the whole Islam. Can it work? Can it work? Can't work. So this diluting thing was done by many people. Even now, they try to dilute. You can't put the both on the same line. One line, you can't put the same. And it's such an obvious thing that you can't put the both on the same line. I ask you, you are a butcher, right? Right? I've got some fancy words for all this, eatables and all that. Different names you got, right? But same thing. But now, you advertising some sandwiches, right? You got a pork sandwich and halal lamb. Can you advertise it on your fridge at one and the same time, together, one line? Can you do it? Will you do it? Can you do it? Right. So why can't you put both of them on the same line? Why? See? Why can't you put both on the same line? So it will appeal to any Muslim mind that you can't have this coexistence, interfaith, you can't have it. Because they want to put everything in one line. And we say, but in your own shop, you won't put the pork and that meat, halal meat together. Because you know that any simple Muslim, simple-minded, he is not going to buy into that. Because he can see that this is filth, haram, concentrated number two, right? And this is pure, halal and tayyiba. You can't put them on one and the same line. Now the one that is talking of an interfaith, that's what he's doing. He's putting that pork and that halal together in one line. Can it work out? How can it work out? If you say, no, that's halal, haram, this is something else. But that is even worse. Because the one that ate haram, right, he may still go to Jannah. But the one that fell into some type of a mix-up in his beliefs, he mixed up his belief, and is there any passage, any room for him to Jannah? Gone, it's closed. So, rather than hiding behind an Islamic front, you know, see, where the confusion is giving an Islamic front. When it's given an Islamic front, so people feel, now why must we throw him out? That's our simple-minded Muslims, right? So why must we throw him out? We mustn't be judgmental, right? So then I ask you, then why are you judgmental on keeping the pork and the mutton together? Why are you judgmental? Are you judgmental or not? You'll be judgmental, you know, hey, just leave it out. So the same now, this Chris Islam or standing in one line, that is not acceptable to any Muslim. But yes, some simple reasoning, but the man must talk in an eloquent manner, he must give an Islamic front, and then you will accept him. How can that happen? How will it ever happen? How can it happen? How can it ever happen? So anyway, we are talking about the 1857, we just branched off. And I said the preservation is even more important than the propagation. Right? And obviously, one person can't be on two fronts at one time, one and the same time. Can be looking at this front, and can he be looking at that front at simultaneously. So someone will have to do the preservation work, someone will have to do the propagation work, but both works will have to be done simultaneously. Preserved it well and you propagate it correctly. You preserved it correctly and you propagate it. And if these two plans were not working concurrently, then what would have happened to Islam? Same like Christianity or Judaism. We have mixed up everything. So is there a thing left now that is not mixed up in their faith? Everything is mixed up. Everything is mixed up. Halal, haram, everything. Chalti ki naam gari. So, our ulama-i kiram from the late 1800s, they made it out what's going on, right? Because they were experts in politics as well. They could see now what's going on, what's cutting, and now we need to look after our Indian subcontinent. I say, now, when the population is 1.6 billion, right, what will be the Muslim population in all this? Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, Ceylon, Sri Lanka, all these places, all together, Burma, all put them all together, because that was all India, one India. Then there were geographical boundaries, right? But before that now, so that population now, so the English had it now, they say it in their own books, they say it, Hamara Mulk Hindustan, that was their book. And it's still, it's very rarely found, but it's there. What they say there is, we were just killing the Mujahideen. Killing them. And as we were annihilating the Mujahideen, then we saw the more Mujahideen just coming up. Killing them and they're coming up again. Killing them and they're coming up again. Right? And you saw in the Gaza, right? They were killing by the thousands. And at the release of hundreds and thousands of Mujahideen came up again. Hey man, what happened? You were killing them and they were still making babies in that time. So their spirits are not broken. They're still running strong. And the numbers are just escalating. Right? Now, what do we do with these people here? So the world is watching. They are watching what is going on. And they understand now, hey, this whole thing is not working out. We thought in 1 week we're going to wipe this whole thing out. It's going to be a 1 week issue. And 14 months went and they couldn't just make headways. So they had to ask for peace. They had to seek for peace. But now coming back to this now, our ulama had to re-strategize. Why they had to re-strategize? Because they got it in record, right, that we felt now this approach is not working. Killing them, burning down Quran Sharif, right, breaking down the masjids and madrasas is not working out. So we need to do something. See, it's a word of Allah Ta'ala. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين. That's a prediction. That there'll be some people that will hold on to the truth, no matter what comes. لا يدرهم من خذلهم. If someone abandons them, they'll still carry on. So now that's a guarantee from Allah Ta'ala. So you can't break that. You come what may, you can't break that. Now someone say, no, see the rain is coming from above, right? So we're going to stop it. Can you stop it? You may die in the process, but the thing is going to rain. So now the sun is too hard, man. You're going to stop the thing. Can you stop the thing? It's Allah Pak's made, you're not going to stop the thing. Right? Learn the way to enjoy from it and improve your life. Now you're going to try to stop the thing, you'll make a fool of yourself. So that's what happened. Even in Russia, this Russian revolution just ended, right? So Tabligh Jamaat caught their fingers everywhere. Allah Ta'ala bless them. I don't talk too much about them, but they got their fingers everywhere. So the Jamaat began to pour in. My brother was one of Marhum. He was in that first, second Jamaat that they went, right? See, if we can't do the work, at least encourage it. Right? But they're doing things that we can't do. Now, rather than being spanners, encourage them, say them good words, offer them a meal, invite them to your town, join them for the gush, for the talim. You can't do everything, something, just join them. Just join them. Because they're doing things that you would have never done. Right? They brought the musallis to the masjids. Right? I remember speaking of the 60s when you just came in, right? So there were maybe about 30 musallis. You know that where the new flats are. The new flats, that was the Jamaat Khana before the masjid came up. That was the 60s. Then about 74, 75 the masjid came up. Otherwise, I saw the whole process. Right. Then the masjid came up, the guests are moving, and they filled the place. Now they got 7 serfs, 8 serfs. But who was the initial workers? So you can't forget them. They started moving, right? They started moving. So this Jamaat, they're in Russia. They heard the doors are open, they moved in. So there were two incidents that my brother related to me. He says, now one incident was, on our South African Jamaat, you have to accept it, right? Khane Pide Ki Jamaat.
what our food's right. Traveling is have a Sakira's car, offering this chow here, this one here, that one there. We like our food, right? Can you avoid that? Can you stop? If this is finished, you got some chevro, that is finished, then you got something for you to munch upon, right? Right? We like our ice cream, we like our chevro, all of it. So two things you must implement with South Africans. The food must be right, and the toilet must be right. Then you take the work out of them. Whatever work you want to take, you take. But the food must be right, and the toilet must be clean. So now, it's a hot day in Russia. I can't remember the state that I went to, right? They saw an ice cream vendor, and one of the Jamaat members wanted to give the treat to the whole Jamaat, 20 of them, nice ice cream. Hey, don't do that! So they stopped in their tracks, came to the masjid, but why? Said, oh, from the day that the revolution started, you know, communism and all that, 1910, 19, whatever it was, right? We made a promise to ourselves that we're not going to buy a single thing from this kafir. Just in order for us to preserve our deen. That people must understand, right, this is Islam and this is a kafir. Because now, you can't propagate deen. If you propagate deen, that's a death sentence. So now, how do we preserve ourselves? So they had to do something to preserve themselves. So what they did in the preservation plan, that we're not going to do any business with any kafir. Right? We will not say it's haram. But now, I ask you now, when the options are all tied like this, was there anything else remaining for them to remain safe? They got no dealings, no interaction, no business with you, right? Absolute nothing. So that preserved these people, Bukhara, Tashkent, Samarkand, that's what preserved them. So they had to do it just to preserve themselves. You will not say it's a faraz, it's a wajib. But I ask you, how else can they preserve themselves? Now they're going in a gush, right? So they respected that, alright? They respected that. But I'm not sure what these people did to preserve. See, like we are doing also to preserve what they did to preserve. So now, they're doing the gush work. In the meanwhile, while they're doing the gush work, one old Russian woman came out. And she was desperately asking for a Quran Sharif. So they had some Quran Sharif, they gave her two copies. She took out her jewelry box, such a big thing, full of gold and all that, diamonds and all that, presented it to him. Hey, we didn't come to do business here. Said, no, I made a vow to my Allah Ta'ala that I was banned from looking at the Quran Sharif. If I ever get the Quran Sharif from anybody, I'll give all my jewelry. But you see what they did, just as a preservation plan. Now, this Islam, you have to do something to preserve it. Every era will have its challenge. Every era will have some challenge, right? So India also had a big challenge, not a small challenge. You think now we just got the Tabligh Jamaat, so we're just taking it for granted. Do you know what sacrifices they made? Do you know what the sacrifices? Well, they caught one person for the Tabligh Jamaat, they caught him. They're showing how they tortured, right? Caught him. They want information. They got him. And they got his 8-year-old child. Right. So now what they're doing is, they got him on a bed. You know that bed is got a netting like. So you can do something from underneath. It's a netting like. So there's a netting on here. And from the bottom they got a fire to torture him. They're torturing him and they're torturing his son. So as they're torturing, that slow torture they're putting him through, so this man says, you know, I will tell you the facts. But you know, I got this little child here, he'll go and spill the beans. What will be left of my reputation after that? But he's the spanner in the works, they put the child away. When they put the child away, he says, now, you can stand on your head and whistle from wherever you want. You're not going to get a single information from me. But why did you do this? He says, I was scared that this child, when he's under pressure, he may just spill the beans. Right? But now he's out of the way now, I've got no fear. Now you can do whatever you want to me. I am not going to tell you one single information. That English officer that was administering this type of a torture, right? He says, why do you do this? I need for Islam. So what is Islam? he even actually off his head, went mad. He couldn't understand now that for Islam you could make such a big sacrifice, let your child, your innocent, darling little child, let him go, but don't bring about a dent of Islam. So now, our ulama was seeing what was doing. See, they got that book, Hamara Mulk Hindustan. Just showing what happened. See now. We're not looking into the history, into their books, because they got it that after every 100 years, they open out the archives. So we should, some of us should be reading all these things and seeing what happened. So now, they said, hey, there's only one way left now. The way that's left is now that we divide them. Because when we divide them, we can rule them. Now you see, in this Gaza issue, right? Now they're all divided. When they divided, the same Muslim lands are saying, finish the Palestinians, finish the last one of them. Who's saying it? On these Muslim lands. Finish the last one. So that's the aftermath of the division. That your own brothers now are being killed, and you're rejoicing at the killing, and you are afraid that they survive. Your fear is they mustn't survive. You can't see them surviving. But you can see them all being eliminated. It's alright. And that's a day for rejoice. So then who are you? See how the Quran Sharif says, so I say, we're not understanding, we're not reflecting. Therefore any new fitness coming up, then we can't apply our minds. The Quran Sharif is saying, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Sixty para. Clearly, don't take them, Christians or Jews, as friends. This is Mr. Imran saying, must take them as friends. And they were the first people to acknowledge his eschatology, right? So he became buddies with the people the Quran Sharif had condemned. So what does the Quran Sharif then say? وَمَن يَتَوَلَّهُم مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. You become friends with them, buddies, intimacy, then you will be counted from amongst them. See, وَمَن يَتَوَلَّهُم مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala will never guide such zalims. He will never show them the right. He will block the right from them. So now, that's what happened to this Mr. Imran. The truth has been blocked from him permanently. He can't see it. سُمُّمْ بُكْمٌ أُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Became deaf, blind, سُمُّمْ, right? بُكْمٌ أُمْيٌ, deaf, blind and dumb. They can't come back onto the path. Because Allah Ta'ala khatam Allahu ala qulubi, Allah Ta'ala set a seal on their hearts. Finish. Now, so the Tabligh Jamaat, they're closing the masjids, right? They're closing their doors to a kafir, right? So they're doing the most brilliant thing. And because now he is totally off, so he regards them to be the best, the greatest enemy. So how he's presenting it. So we're coming now, the division, see. So they said, hey, you know what, we have to do something here. We have to divide and rule. I'm showing you now, from their own records, you must go and look at the history, what you find. From their own records, you see now, the only way we got now is to divide them. Right? So then, in the division process, see this planning is carrying on. This English, Jews, Americans, when they make a plan, they're not worried to see the results immediately. They will let it pass, even they say, in their own books, even it maybe it takes 200 years for that thing to roll out. They prepare to wait for the time. But that thing must run. See this kufr, shaitan, the shaitanic wagon, that will run parallel to this. Right. So, in order to entice, right, then in the populace, in human populace, we'll have one who can lead, and we'll have the others that will just follow, right? You have one that can lead, and the others will just follow. Like you look at Hollywood, right? How man his mind functions, right? So you have just one celebrity, right? But behind the celebrity will be how many millions of people? Doesn't it happen or not? One person, right? Sina or whatever, Sina Basina, right? So one person, and how many followers he's got? See, so you got the leader, and you got the follower. So what it requires of us to identify leaders. So then when we identify leaders, then he will have his following.
He'll be doing our work. We don't have to be standing in the front. If the English or the Jewish be standing in front, then people will say, this is a community. What do you call it? Huh? Racial thing, right? They call it a racial thing. So now, get your own man, get their man to do our job. Get their man to do our job, right? So if you look at this Jinnah, it's the same thing. He was their man, right? And had an Islamic front, put a Jinnah cap. And that he went. How many people start buying Jinnah caps? But did you read the history of this person? What he did, what damage he did? Nobody knows. His statement was, "Arey, siyasi wade kahi zinda kahi sharminda tabir hote hai. Arey, siyasi wade kahi zinda tabir hote hai, sharminda tabir hote hai. Political promises, are they ever supposed to be accomplished? It's just to bluff people. So we said, La ilaha illallah. What is Pakistan? La ilaha illallah. So we got our thing. You think we'll ever accomplish? We'll ever go by the book? No. It was just to get our numbers. So to get the numbers, we use the token. After now we got our numbers, now Islam, it was just a front. So as a result, now you can see in Pakistan, show me which vice is not prevalent practice in Pakistan. Show me. You know, the Islamic punishment for apostasy was disbelief. Right? A Qadiani is recognized. Alright, he's a kafir minority, but he's recognized. But he's allowed to these Qadianism propagate. A Christian missionary is allowed to propagate his missionary work to turn people from Islam to kufr. But his sanction is approved. Right? So then that means now you got the leader and you got the follower, right? So what you have to do? You have to buy the leaders out. So you buy them out, then they will sing according to your tune, whatever you want them to do. Say transgender, they'll do it. Muslim land also do transgender. Tell them you don't have to walk with mahrams, they'll do it. So now, because now they are being maneuvered. So now our elders had a problem in their hands. Now on the one side is to do jihad. One side is now, there's so many splintered, deviant groups, right? Presenting themselves as Muslims, but they're doing everything against Islam, they are doing it. Right. Now, can you see what are they doing? The whole process, they are getting people to Islam, or they're getting people away from Islam with an Islamic front. Can you see what they're doing? So now, all I have to say now, alright, we have two fronts, two things to work with. One is the jihad, and one is to preserve the Islam. Right? For the time being, if you're going to work only on Islam, right, this person will say, I'm a Muslim, with a Muslim front, but the kafir spirit, the whole thing is kufr, and then how complicated this work will become. Can you understand how complicated? Because he's showing a Muslim front. But everything that is packed in him is about disbelief. Like now the same with Imran now, see how beautifully he's saying, you know, the people that are dearest to me, closest to me, are the Qadianis. He's writing. And the people that are furthest away, the biggest opponents are the Jamaat. Closer are the Qadianis. One, two things we differ, but they are very, very close to me. But you see from his readings, the line that he's taken. So now our ulama had to contend with two. There's one frontier and there's another frontier, right? And Allah Pak is saying it very clearly. Allah lillahi deenul khalis. I just want pure Islam. I don't want any type of a diluted, contaminated, I don't want. I want Islam, but I want absolutely pure. Because in the day, in the past generations, Christianity was the true religion, the day of Isa alayhi salam. Right? Day of Musa alayhi salam, the Yahud was the right. But now, is there anything left of them? Or is totally distorted? And Allah says, what I want pure. فَعْبُدِلَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. Your service, your worship must be pure. I don't want a diluted form.
ألا لله الدين الخالص ما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين. Three emphasis. مخلصين one. مخلصين له الدين. هنفاء. Absolute. هنفاء means you absolutely focus on one thing and abandon everything else. ما أمروا. Right. Again, a third emphasis. Third, three emphasis giving one verse that I don't want anything that's diluted. Mixed up, dilution, I don't want that. I want it to be absolutely pure. So your thinking must be pure, your practice must be pure, your belief must be pure, absolute, then I'm going to accept it. But this diluted thing now, mixed up Islam, that I don't want that. So when Allah speaks about the Sahaba Kiram, right? So the closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are the Sahaba Kiram, aren't they? Is there anybody closer to Rasulullah Paksam than the Sahaba Kiram? Right? But now, when there's a deviate group, what they will tell you, that the Sahaba Kiram had moved away from Islam. See? It's a deviate group. So their greatest enemy became the Sahaba Kiram. And Allah Pak is endorsing the Sahaba Kiram when he says, لَقَدْ أَفَعَنْكُمْ I have forgiven all of you. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُونَ I endorse my good pleasure for you. And the ulama say that if it's a human being, right, if he's endorsed pleasure, then it can be revoked, right? Today I'm pleased with you. Tomorrow that friendship can be revoked, can be turned. Why? Because I couldn't see into the future. Okay, is aadmi ka mustaqbil kya hoga? What will be his future? I can see him for the present moment that he's running right. But can I see what he's going to do in the future? I can't see. So I can be pleased with you now, but that pleasure can be turned to enmity, right? Because I can't see the future. And Allah Ta'ala bi kulli shay'in muhit. He encompasses all times, all places, all people. So he knows the future like he knows now, and now like he knew the past. So there's no difference in his ilm, in his knowledge. Knowledge is perfect. So when he's going to make an announcement that I'm pleased, then that's perpetual, irrevocable. It's not going to be cancelled. So when he announced his pleasure for the Sahaba Kiram, it's an irrevocable thing. It's there permanent. And what this deviate group, Shias, are saying, that no, Khuda Ta'ala ko bada ho gaya. No, it just appeared for him at that time. And then he saw, amen, what these people are doing now. So they are attacking the integrity of Allah Ta'ala's sifat of ilm, aren't they? We are saying his ilm covers all times, all places, all people. What they say? Can you see what they say? Understand? Oh, it's a little bit too high. Yeah? Is it good? Yeah? Managing? Sure. Sometimes I get scared, you know, see a little bit. This is going off. So we're talking about the Sahaba Kiram, right? Now look at this, right? The Sahaba Kiram is such an important thing in your lives, right? In the day of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you see through the khutbah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no mention of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, nor in Abu Bakr's khutbah, and so forth and so on, radiallahu anhu, right? But then it was started afterwards. So in every Jummah khutbah, you'll hear, Arhamu Ummati bi Ummati. Right? You'll hear that hadith. Praise to the Khulafa'i Rashidin. All of them in the same sequence, right? Right? Now, why are they doing it on a Jummah khutbah? Do you ask yourself? They're doing it on a Jummah khutbah because every Muslim must make it a point to come for the Jummah. And the Jummah, they are telling him, see, the safety of your faith is your belief in the Khulafa'i Rashidin and the Sahaba Kiram. And there you move away, you're gone. You move away from the Khulafa'i Rashidin, you move away from the Sahaba, you are gone. Right. Then again they're reading that, you'll hear again the Jummah khutbah, Khairul Quruni Qarni, the best Zamana is my Zamana, then the Sahaba Kiram, Tabi'in, Tabi'in, right? So that is the best zamana. Then again you're hearing in the khutbah, that means the sahaba's time is the best time. Adab tabi'in is after the sahaba, and tabi' tabi'in is after the tabi'in. Right? So the best zamanas. Again you're hearing in the khutbah, repeatedly, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, la tattakhidhum gharadan min ba'di, right? That be careful of my sahaba. Don't you make them a target for your criticism. Azahum faqad azani. You hurt them, you have hurt me. And if you hurt me, you hurt Allah Ta'ala. And you hurt Allah Ta'ala, then you go on, khalas. Right. So, there's a lot of respect for the sahaba, Khulafa'i Rashidin, right? And then, you're hearing in Muli Khalil's khutbah now, right? He'll add that khususat. I take a lot of happiness. Khususat ala Aisha wa ala Zainab, right? Because now he's working right against them. Khususat ala Muawiyah. So they're taking the names that we identify with all the sahaba kiram. In their own capacity, they may be a ranking, right? But in our side, they're all great. Aren't they great, all of them? Right? Within their ranking and their rating, there may be a difference, right? Who's greater, who's... But in our side, they're all great. Right? Like if someone is discussing your uncles, so you say, no, all of them are great. And I don't want to go and rate them, that this was better, no. They're all great. Because if we start rating them, then we may run down someone. They may have the ranking, right? One is greater. But people like us, right? We start rating them, what happened? You know, he was better, but he sometimes will fall into an argument. Sometimes his language will be like this. But he was good. But we start pulling out the faults just to prove the rating. So, no, all of them are good. Don't talk about them. Who's better, wife, mother, or sister, my father? No, all are good. He won't say, no, my mother is better than my father. Why? Because it will run down your father. You both are great. Don't pick on them. They're all great. Don't you have that attitude? Because you don't want that comparison. So there's going to be that comparison. You're going to run someone down and you're going to elevate someone. So you don't want that to happen. That you want to maintain a respect to all. Right? So don't you see these names are being repeated, right? Now, then Allah Pak speaks about the sahaba kiram. Radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. My perpetual pleasure. Right? And then Allah Pak speaks about them again. Wasabiqoon al-awwal, forerunners. Right? So in about five places in the Quran Sharif, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه. يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه. Allah will never disgrace neither the Rasul or the Sahaba Ikram. See what he says. يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه. So that means our whole faith is suspended on the respect of the Sahaba Ikram. Right. But obviously, like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a time to work, and his mission is over and he goes. Sahaba Kiram had a time, the limit, their time is expired, they go on, right? So, who are the closest to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The Sahaba Kiram. Then who were the closest to the Sahaba Kiram? The Tabi'een. Right. They were the closest, right? And then who were the closest to the Tabi'een? The Tabi' Tabi'een. Right. So you will rate the Sahaba the greatest than the Tabi'een. Like for example, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Hassan Basri, then you get Muhammad ibn Sirin, all these people, right? Tabi'een. The greatest. Why? Why the greatest? Because they were closest to the Sahaba Ikram. And the Sahaba Ikram were closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's how it works. So then after that, whoever is closest to the Sahaba Ikram, or whoever is closest to the Tabi'in, they'll be the best. So they are the closest to the Tabi, because they are our closest link to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? They asked some of the students of Imam Abu Dawud Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Abu Dawud
how do you find his, how do you rate him? How do you rate him? So now look the answer. He says, Kana Ashbaha bi Ahmad ibn Hanbal. There was a lot of resemblance between him and his ustad Imam Ahmad. And if you look at Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayh, there was a great resemblance between him and his ustad Waqi. And Waqi, if you look at him, there was a great resemblance between him and his ustad Mansur. And if you look at Mansur, then there was a great resemblance between him and his ustad Ibrahim Nakhai. If you look at Ibrahim Nakhai, then there was a great resemblance between him and his ustad Al-Qama, right, and Aswad, right. And if you look at them, then there was a great resemblance between them and then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Amma ibn Mas'ud, fahuwa ibn Mas'ud. You talk of Ibn Mas'ud. In our language say, uska kya puchna? You can't even discuss the man. He's above. But see now, the closest, as he comes in, he's closest to his teacher, Sheikh. In that zamana, the Sheikh and the Ustad used to be the same thing. Then these two things separated. The Sheikh is separate, and the Ustad is separate. But in that zamana, the Sheikh and the Ustad was the same. Like, you see, our silsila, so a lot of us, we are the students of Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. So he's the Ustad and the Sheikh. Right? So you'll find sometimes a combination of the both. But then, there's a very great resemblance. So this whole resemblance carries on in that same chain. So in this day, if you want to be closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it's your Mashayikh. But perhaps, but provided they got two things. What two things they've got? One is, فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. They're holding on to the original. No dilution. فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. Hold on to that. The original, undiluted. There may be mistakes. Kaun bhool nahi karta, right? There may be mistakes. Only the Anbiya flawless. Otherwise, you have one small mistake, some bigger mistake, but they're going to be. Second thing, in akramakum indallahi atqakum. The level of taqwa is maintained. There's a consistent plan right throughout. So taqwa and sunnah. فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِي إِلَيْكَ. The gist of it, the essence of it is sunnah. And I say, there are going to be some mistakes. Yes, kisi ko kuch keh diya gaya. Koi bhool ho gayi. Sahaba ikram se koi bhool nahi ho gaya. There are some mistakes. But there was a consistent plan right throughout. And then Allah Pak liked them. Why he liked them so much? Why did he like them? Imagine now, you know, you got a massive, massive heart attack, right? And the specialist that is operating on you, he says the only way we can get you right is have an open heart surgery with a heart transplant. Right? And the person whose heart is going to be transplanted, we can't guarantee him life for more than 2 weeks. Put a machine or something, then he's going to go. And one of your trusted workers comes and says, boss, I'll offer it. I'll offer you my heart. My life I'll offer for you. Phir tumhara unke saath kya taalluq hoga? What will be your relationship with him? Yeah? If he makes a mistake, you make a noise about it. Hey, forget it. Can't. So that was the Sahaba Kiram. At the time of desperation, they were there. Talha says, Nahri la nahraka duna nahri. Let me die, not you. So that was the jazba, that was the spirit. So they were far, far above us. But now, this follows, this is the chain that is supposed to be followed. Like in your biological lineage, right? You follow a lineage, isn't it? And you get very thrilled. Hey, my grandfather was a buzrug. And his father, hey, he was a great alim. And his father was a hafiz, an orator, right? So how great don't you feel, right? Because it's coming on your line, right? So the one that is closest to you, then you hold on to him. Like the Tabi'in held on to the Sahaba Kiram. Tabi Tabi'in held on to the Tabi'in, right? And that's how they reached up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in this age, now we'll have to hold on to these people to connect us, to have the connection right on that side.
So for that, you need to be on the same page. Sometimes they may not like something, right? They may not like something. It may not be a sunnah, but they don't like it. So to be on the same page now, you know, never mind, let's leave this. They can see now, it's maybe a small mustahab, but they not in agreement for some valid reason, right? Other Shaykh Ramatai's student was Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, right? Now, Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, a very great saintly person, one of his murid is telling me, as I understand this Buzurgan Adiyan, right? Simple person, khata, pita, joking, laughing, all that. He says, without fail, when I go to the Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's program, I see Nabi Sam sitting next to them. He told me himself personally. And if you look at the person, he's simple, khata, pita, but I see Nabi Sam sitting there. So you don't underestimate them. They may have some of their isolated opinions, right? But for your goodness, is just go with them. So now, his ustad is Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Ufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is also his ustad. But now, I'm just showing you how they conduct themselves. Now, if the Shaykh Ramtai is receiving Mawlana Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali as a guest, right? Say, arre bhaiyo, sir, Dastar Khan ko sahi kar do. Mawlana Abrar Sahib, arre. Abrar Sahib is coming now. Put the Dastar Khan right now. He would like, he would emphasize that the Dastar Khan must be slightly above the sitting place. The sitting place mustn't be above the Dastar Khan. Now you know what a buzruk there. So you put a special carpet there. And that carpet will be above the Dastar Khan. So he would strongly disapprove. Now, if he had to come as a guest of the Shaykh, being the host, say, but what was that? Consideration. Hazrat is receiving some other guests now. The Shaykh is receiving some guests. So, when he's receiving, you know, he used to feel very hot. The Shaykh used to feel extremely hot. Now, he's working and he's got his topi out. He's eating and he's got his topi out. Consideration. That person is not even a hundredth of Hazrat Shaykh. But Hazrat Shaykh is showing that level of consideration for that person as well. Respect. Consideration. So as to be on the same line. On the lighter side, one person is sitting and eating, right? He's got his topi out. Myself, I'm sitting in the office, 3/4 of the time I've got my topi out. I can't manage it. I try to put it 5 minutes to take it out again. Now, this person is eating and he's got his topi out. And his friend now, they're a little bit very informal. So, the friend comes and gives him one shot on the back. Indicate, put your topi on, like, you know. He's eating now. So he went silent. Absolutely silent now, you know, he got the silent mode. So he's silent. Why are you so totally silent? He said, no, mera abba yaad aa gaya. I remember my father's golden advice. He says, topi pehen karke khane ko baithna. Eat your topi on. Warna shaitan chapat marega. So understand bizarre, right? Understand these things here. You don't understand these things here, you make a mess up. You want to be with these people here. They've got a certain mizaj, right? It may not be strictly a sunnat. When the Shaykh Ramadan was asked, after the Dastar Khan thing, right? Dastar Khan and Topi, right? He said, uska madar to urf ke upar hai. What? Some aspects of adab is based on how people generally apply it. Some things in some place is respect. And at another place, it doesn't have to be a respect. It's a respect that's counted as a respect in a certain area, in a certain context, in a certain place. But that doesn't mean it is something that is sunnah. I remember I was studying in Dioban. So, there was a Malaysian that used to be sitting next to me. Yusuf, that was his name. Very simple boy, simple, down to earth. So one person put his hand on Yusuf's shoulder. He said, don't do this. In our country, don't do this. So he said, that Indian student said, but now here it's done as a friend, friend will just put your hand on the shoulder. Say, by us, this is treated as a fight. You put your hand on his shoulder, then that's treated as a fight. So the urf changes. Here, they apply it differently. Here, they apply it differently. One alim was sent from Deoband to go and teach in Madras, right? So now, normally in a sabak, say in intervals, Ustaz will ask, Samjhe, you understood? So they'll nod, they'll be following. Right? Understood? After 5 minutes, you understood. So now, the Ustaz is asking the students, and he's getting frustrated. So he went to complain to his friend, that one masla I've explained them 10, 20 times, they're not understanding it. So why? So when I'm asking them, you understood, they're doing like this. So I've repeated the masla again, second time. Why in Madras, the yes nod is like this? See, the usage there, the application here is different. The application there is different. Now, you didn't know the application, so you came to the wrong conclusions. Now, understand how it works. We know what it's in. My way, highway. We don't understand how these things work, how people's minds work, how they operate, right? And we want to make one rule for everybody. Different people now, you have to make some provisions for them. My uncle, Abdul Razak, Allah forgive him. So, he was a little jolly person. Like, he liked his friends and all that. So all his buzurganis, how he rocked up a relationship with everybody, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Saab and everybody, his friend, Mr. Binuri Saab and everybody. Even Mr. Binuri's father, he had a relationship with him. How he did that, Allah Baghdad is karam with that. So the other sheikh and everybody, a nice friendship. But after Isha, he's sitting and joking with Mullah Abdul Qadir Saab. He was a great, very great buzurg of Pakistan. But now I don't know how he made up a relationship joking after Isha. So, as a sheikh, Rahmatai asked, wo, dusre kamre mein kaun shor kar rahe? Who's making noise there? He said, Abdul Razak. Look at how the sheikh handled the whole situation. And my uncle is telling me directly. Now, a whole platter of fresh, nicely peeled and cut and sliced mangoes, he said for him. But how he handled that situation, you think he ever made a noise after that, Isha? But he had to handle that situation according to the individual, alright, understand now where the man is coming from and how to treat him. We have to get everybody right. But now, what stroke should we be using here? What stroke are we supposed to be using? How to get people on the right? So the long story, though, I have made a long introduction, right? Our mashayikh had to change the whole policy. So now the jihad now is to get the people thinking right. Get the amal right and get the thinking right. So if the thinking is not, if you're getting the Muslims, but they're thinking off, completely off, right? Then how long it will take the West to buy this one out, to buy that one out, and to buy that one out, right? Then will there be anything left of Islam? They bought this one out, Qadiani out, another one out, or they buy the people out, right? So, yeh kiski geet sunata hai? They'll give an Islamic front, right? But they'll be doing their own things. See, the Quran says, when it's speaking about the Sahaba Kiram, so what it says, أَشِدَّاءُ وَالْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنُمْ. They stand out strong against the kuffar. So, when they stand out stronger against the kuffar, what does it mean? That means they're not going to buy into kuffar culture, they're not going to buy into integrating. They're not going to buy into, right, interfaith, because they're strong on their guns. You're going to buy into this thing here? No. They're strong, very strong against the kuffar, against their culture, their ways, their thinking. Right? They're going to be mild on photography. They'll be strong against it because all these things coming from the kuffar. You think they'll be mild against women going around gallivanting the streets and not driving around? They'll be strong against it. See that?
Ashidda'u al kuffar. They looking for their culture, their ways. They're going to be strong in their ways, and they'll be strong against the ways of the kuffar. So you think they'll be sending the girls to go and study and all that everywhere, running around everywhere to go and study, right? No, they will be standing firm on their ways, standing firm against the ways of the kuffar. You think these people, when they're standing firm against the kuffar, they're going to celebrate their festival, Valentine and all that? No. If we got our own, we'll stand out firm against you. That doesn't mean we'll fight with you. That doesn't mean we will make no considerations. We'll make considerations. We'll be generous, but we'll be firm in our ways, firm against your ways. That is, firm against not adopting your ways. So, not in the photography, not in the integrating, not in the music, not in the woman mixing up, right? Or going out for studies. You go your way, we'll go our way, we'll be strong in our ways, and you mustn't influence our culture. I ask you, which of the things that we aren't so influenced? Look at a Muslim marriage. I ask you, what is the influence, what is the ethos there? Photography is there, mixing up is there, walking the bride on the aisle is there, and when she's there, she's walking on the aisle, then there's a music that is playing now. Right? So now, they'll do all the Christian things, and in play, they'll substitute the music with a qiraat. Qari sahab, zara qiraat suna lo. Dekho, kitna mubarak moka hai. I ask you, is it a fact or not? So you give it a little bit of an Islamic ethos, but it's absolutely Christian, it's alien. So have you got any truck with the sahaba kiram? Labak says, ashidda'u wal kuffar. They're very firm, they stand out firm against the kuffar. In their own relationship, ruhama'u bainahum. Amongst them, there's a lot of compassion and love. I made a mistake, alright, let's go now, don't make a story about it. 15, Shaban came, right? Forget everything now, let's bury the false and move on. Yeah? Doesn't it happen? Yeah? Allah Ta'ala.